Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabert, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12 reads, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Welcome to the first Saturday morning three-strand cord marriage forum with M&E, Prophet Maurice and Eugenia Simmons of Restoration and Truth Ministries, Hampton, Virginia. This is an open forum on marriages for couples and singles. We welcome all questions, and we are so blessed that you took out the time on this first Saturday to join us. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to your name, O God. Hallelujah for a new day, O God. Thank you for waking us up this morning, O Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us into a new place in you, O God. We thank you for the fresh breath that you're giving to us, O God, that we can become a living soul, O God. We thank you, O God, that you're doing a great work in us and through us, O God. We rest upon your promises, O God, and we rest upon your great will for our lives, O God. So we thank you this morning, Lord God, for ordering our steps, for guiding our footsteps, Lord God, throughout this whole entire year, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for mending broken hearts, oh God. We thank you for mending, Lord God, pieces, Lord God, that once was broken, Lord God, and you put them back together again. Hallelujah. Thank you for your greatness, God. Thank you for your long-suffering, God. Thank you for your patience towards us, oh God. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness, oh God. We thank you that we can rest upon you and bless your glorious name on today, because God, we cast our cares upon you, and you said you will care for us, so God. So Lord, in that process, God, we trusted you that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, oh God, for you have been with us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for setting us up at the table, Lord God, where we can feast off of your word on a daily basis, God, on a monthly basis, oh God, on a daily basis, oh God, and you give us, Lord God, exactly what we need, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, guide our day out the day, Lord God. We thank you, O God, that we live from glory to glory, and it is because of your glory, O God, that we can continue to move. It is because of your spirit, Lord God, that we can be, Lord God, unstoppable, O God, because of you, O God, because you went before us. And Lord God, if you be for us, O God, who can be against us, O God? We thank you on today, God, that we can bless your glorious name for healing, hallelujah, the body of Christ, oh God, and even our physical body, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that your promises are not slack concerning us, oh God. We glorify your name, oh God, and we worship you, oh God, for protecting our families, oh God, for protecting our spouses, for protecting, Lord God, our children, Lord God, our grandchildren, hallelujah, oh God, for protecting our mothers and our fathers, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for even touching every sibling, hallelujah, on both sides of the family, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for moving, Lord God, from heart to breast, oh God, from mind to mind, oh God. You said in your word, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, and even in our lives, oh God, throughout this year, Father, you're the one, Lord God, that kept filling us up, oh God, when we took the cap off, oh God, and asked, oh God, that you will pour into us, oh God, your wisdom, your knowledge and understanding, oh God, your perfect will on a daily basis, God. You're the one that did it, oh God. In the moment,
times, Lord God, that we set up, oh God, ourselves up for failure, oh God. We thank you for your tender voice, oh God, that spoke to us clearly, oh God. Hallelujah, and told us, Lord God, we're going the wrong direction, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the chastisement, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for you chastise, you chase those that you love, oh God. So, Lord, we lay ourselves today, oh God, and on the operating table, oh God, and ask that your will be done, not our will, but yours be done, Lord God. Not our will in our families, oh God, but yours to be done, Lord God. Not our will, Lord God, but your will, Lord God, to be done in our families, Lord God, in our finances, Lord God, in our children, Lord God, in our children's children, God. Hallelujah to your name, Lord God, in every ministry, oh God, that you have birthed on the inside of us, oh God. We ask that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, Father. We thank you, oh God, that again, Lord God, your love draws us to repentance. And so, Lord, we ask that you will forgive us, oh God. Forgive us of what we spoke out ill will against our spouses, against our children, even against our own selves, oh God. We ask that you will forgive us, Lord God, for, Lord God, judging, Lord God, and having jealousy and having judgments in our hearts, oh God, having hardness in our hearts, oh God, when you want our hearts to be tender. Oh God, we ask that you will forgive us, Lord God, for having unforgiveness in our hearts, oh God, harboring things in our hearts, oh God, that will keep us, Lord God, getting closer to you, oh God. We ask, Lord God, that you will search our hearts, search our minds through and through, oh God. Help us, Lord God, to overcome the past so that we can, Lord God, move in the future in the name of Jesus. Help your children, Lord God, not to look, but Lord God, help them to look at what you're doing in the moment, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that sometimes, oh God, we may be going in the wrong direction. We may be, Lord God, thinking the wrong things, oh God. We may be harboring things, Lord God, that you clearly want us to get rid of, oh God. So, Lord, we're taking the moment today, oh God, and ask that you will help us to get rid of the junk that is on the inside of us, oh God, that we can present ourselves holy and blameless, oh God, and come to you with clean hands and a purified heart in the matchless name of Jesus. Lord, sometimes you want us to do something different, Lord God. Oh, God, but we know, God, can be stubborn at times and don't want to give in to the will of yours, oh God. But, Lord, we lay aside our will, Lord God, and ask that you will wash us from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life in the matchless name of Jesus. Purify us through and through, oh God, because we know that we need you, oh God, and we believe in your power and your might, oh God. We know, Lord God, that when you wipe our slate clean, Lord God, you will never remember again, Lord God. So we confess our faults, oh God, to you, oh God. We confess our faults to one another, oh God, and we pray for one another, oh God, because we understand the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous woman, a righteous man availeth much, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you on today, God, that we have the opportunity to come to you and to pray without ceasing, oh God. We know, Lord God, that this world can cripple the mind of those, Lord God, that are not divinely connected with you, oh God. Lord God, the more closer we get to you, oh God, we know, Lord God, that it'll be an opportunity, oh God, for intimacy, oh God. But without you, oh God, we will be walking to and fro, oh God. We will walk around, Lord God, mindless, oh God, because we don't have the mind of Christ on us, oh God, and in us, oh God. So, Lord, let us present ourselves holy, oh God, before you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for covering our minds, for covering our ears, for covering our hearts, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father, that you will continue to work through us and in us, oh God, every fivefold ministry, oh God, that are married, oh God, or once was married, oh God, or whatever status they're in, God. We pray, oh God, and it will seek your face, oh God. For you said in your word in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all your righteousness, and everything will be added unto us, oh God. So, Lord, we don't worry about the things that may happen on tomorrow or on today, God. But we know, Lord God, that you have everything in the palm of your hand. And, Lord God, we thank you that you are mindful of us, oh God, that you saw fit, Lord God, to do the things that you do in our lives, oh God. God. Whether we, Lord God, you put us on the potter's wheel, Lord God. Whether we go through the fiery furnace, oh God, to burn, Lord God, off the imperfections, oh God. But we thank you, oh God, that we're not going to come out smelling like smoke, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that we don't look like what we've been through. But, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, oh God, in advance, God, for the victory belongs to your children, oh God. It belongs to us, God. It is your great pleasure and your great will, Lord God, for none shall perish, oh God. So, Lord, we pray for the mothers and the fathers, oh God, of children, Lord God, that lost their children, Lord God. We pray, oh God, that you will pray, Lord God, that you will touch and that you will help us to intercede, Lord God, for marriages, oh God, that lost their spouses on this day, oh God, this year, oh God, or whether years before, oh God. We pray that you will give them tender sweetness, oh God, upon their hearts in the name of Jesus. You are the comforter, oh God, and we trust you, oh God, that in the midnight hour, Father, you will turn things around for the good, Lord God. We thank you, oh God, that you're touching, Lord God, even the mothers that may have had miscarriages, oh God. Oh God, we thank you, oh God, for being a healer of their wounds, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for we cancel, Lord God, depression and PTSD in the name of Jesus, and postpartum, Lord God, depression in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you will give them strength in the matchless name of Jesus. We pray for the singles, oh God. Hallelujah to your name, Lord God. That is, Lord God, looking for love in the wrong places and cannot hear your voice, oh God, because of the lust, Lord God. That is, Lord God, ruminated, Lord God, and permeated, Lord God, from the opposite sex, oh God. We pray, oh God, out of desperation to be in a relationship, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you will pull them back in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you will, Lord God, hold them up in the name of Jesus, that it will not give into temptation, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that it will not fall into their own demise or the assignment of the enemy, oh God. But we cancel it right now in Jesus' name, that they will not be weary and well-doing, Lord God, but they will continue, Lord God, to trust you in this hour, in this season, Lord God, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right now, God. We thank you for building, Lord God, the kingdom of God, Lord God, on those, Lord God, that has a trust in you in Jesus' name. We thank you, oh God, that there will be evangelists that will be out there standing on their post, oh God, reaching to the unreachable in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the prophets, oh God, that's going to sound the alarm and speak your word. Hallelujah, oh God, that doesn't matter who it blesses or who it blesses, oh God. We thank you for the apostles, oh God, that is doing the work, oh God, that you have called them to do, Lord God, to round up your people, oh God, and to move, Lord God, in the momentum of you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the compassion, Lord God, of the pastors, oh God, that is in the right position and posture, oh God, to love your people unconditional, oh God. And we thank you for the teachers, oh God, that is in this ministry, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you're moving in their hearts, oh God, teaching them new things daily and daily after day, oh God. We pray, oh God, for wisdom, for wisdom is a principal thing, oh God. We thank you for divine healing, oh God, that is taking place right now in Jesus' name. Those that stretch forth their hands and having problems in their bodies, oh God, we know that you are able to heal and to deliver and to set free, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for new songs, for the song that you give us in our heart, oh God. It's a song that the angels cannot sing, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for what you're doing right now in every relationship with you, oh God. It starts with you, oh God, and you will show us how to love. You will show us how to forgive. You will show us to have grace, oh God. You will show us, Lord God, the things that we need to do, oh God, that once was done, Lord God, all wrong, oh God, will be undone. And Lord God, you will renew a right spirit within us, oh God. We thank you, Father, for being the great I am and the Holy One, Lord God, that knows the ways that we take, and you know the ways that we walk. You know the way that we talk. Thank you for changing our speech, oh God. Thank you for changing our minds, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us, Lord God, to undo the things that the enemy has assigned, oh God, to break us down. But Lord God, you come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We give you glory and honor and praise, oh God. Use the man and woman of God on today as you already put the word inside of them, Lord God. We thank you for the connection, the divine connection of what you're doing, Lord God, on this line, and even using, Lord God, the overseer of this line, Lord God, to push and to press and to, Lord God, intercede, Lord God, for the things of God to come to pass in every relationship. It is vital in this hour, in this season, Lord, that we must remain, Lord God, in the posture of you, in the name of Jesus, looking towards heaven, for you, oh God, are the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you glory and honor and praise. May you cover your children and give them exactly, Lord God, the direction that they need, that it will carry out to 2024. We give you glory and honor and praise, and even in this season, in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen.
Your heart is broken when your wounded pride is laid to rest today. You never open your heart to anyone else to say, but you lie. I know you're lying. You see your mind might be made up. But your heart has got a soul plan. If you want to blame, all fine. Tell a lie, tell a lie. You're feeling the pain. I know you don't want to be. But there's nowhere to hide. Do the love call your name. And from the dark. Nowhere to hide, babe. Yeah, nowhere to hide. Don't let love have its way with your heart. When love calls, love calls, love calls your name. So my lips and my lips, that you were still here. To take me away with your kiss. To take me away from all this pain. So many words have been spoken. Too many lies have been told. Even. You'll never do it again. You can't say. Over and over, you're wrong, said wrong, babe. Yeah, there's no better house. Calling your name from the dark, babe. A little bit longer, there's no better house. Yeah, let the love have its way. All its way.
Show your dog.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Three-Strand Cord Marriage Talk with Maurice and Eugenie. To be before you all again, we give honor to God. I give honor to my husband, Apostle Maurice Simmons, to Dr. LaRon Matthews for the opportunity and this platform, to the intercessor. God bless you. Thank you so much, woman of God, to every kingdom leader in their perspective places, and to all the listeners near and far, thank you for joining us on today. To the married, singles, widowed, and divorcees, we pray that something on today will encourage you, enlighten you, bring you to a place of fulfillment in God, to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered, to be a better version of you, so we can be the best in this earth that God has called us to be. We are excited again, once again, for this opportunity to come to you for the Three-Strand Cord Marriage Talk, to, you know, come together and to dialogue. And as the song by Kim, Love Calls, there were a couple of things. There's a lot in the lyrics of this song that we do believe is appropriate for this time, this season, and to help bring some points that the Lord laid on our heart. First of all, some things in the lyric. It says, let love have its way. The title itself, Love Calls. And when love is on its way to your heart, there's nowhere to run. In this song, Kim says, I used to think I would never fall in love again. I guess I was wrong. When your heart was broken, when your wounded pride was laid to rest, you'll never open your heart to anyone else. But you lied. You see, your mind might already be made up, but your heart has got its own plan. There's no one to blame the false pride, the telling lies, trying to hide your feelings from the pain. So when love is on its way to your heart, there is nowhere to run. So today we want to just come and dialogue from this. There are a couple of scriptures I would like to give you for those who are writing, and for those who will come back to listen to the recording. The scriptures I'll be referencing in the beginning and throughout our dialogue. First is Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. Genesis 2, verses 21 to 23. Second verse is Psalm 51, verse 10. And then we'll turn over to Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20, and then 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And so we will be dialoguing from this place throughout, but I wanted to give some of the scriptures in the beginning. Again, Genesis 2, verses 21 through 21 reads, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at the place. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man he made, fashioned and formed into a woman, he brought her and presented her to the man. Then Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Psalms 51 and 10 reads, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right in me." Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. "Owe nothing to anyone except to love and seek the best for one another, for he who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law relating to one's fellow man. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. It never hurts anyone. Therefore, unselfish love is the fulfillment of the law." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20 reads, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Am I therefore to take the members of Christ and make them part of a prostitute? Certainly not. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, 'The two shall be one flesh.' But the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run away from sexual immorality in any form, whether thought or behavior, whether visual or written. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then, honor and glorify God with your body." And for the last scripture that we will reference in the beginning, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 8, reads, "Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Believe all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes in all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends." And so if we would come to you today, we want to talk and dialogue about how love calls and how we have to learn to push past the pain of love betrayals, and that there's purpose once you heal from the wounds of pain. So when love calls your name, let love find its way to your heart. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Good morning. As we always say, amen, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Prophetic Conference Line. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, people of God. Amen. We certainly thank God for another, amen, first Saturday, amen, of the month. And we certainly thank God for even at the ending of a year, but we certainly thank God for first Saturday in December, amen. And we just bless the Lord that we can come back to this place to dialogue. Amen, from the marriage talk, dealing with relationships, whether, again, it's marriage, whether people are single, widow, or divorcees. We certainly thank God for to be able to share from this place. We always say we don't come by the way of, amen, our own words. We come by the way of experience. We come by the way of the word of God and come by the way of the leading of the Spirit of God. Amen. So we won't leave people in error. A lot of people are living in error because, again, whether they listen to other people or following other people, and it always leads to error. And I certainly thank God for allowing God to touch my life to come into a place, amen, to be able to share from an authentic place. As my wife stated, when love calls, we have, especially the body of Christ, we have to know that anytime you deal with love, and we always share from this place, we know love, it can be have several meanings, but we're going to tie it to relationships and tie it back to God, because we know God is the creator of love, and he's given that to humanity to love from a place that he has orchestrated and designed for mankind, whether it comes to family relationship, husband and wife, through marriage, whether it's through friendship, again, whether it's through fellowship with men and women of God and believers, making a bond of sharing love one to another. And we know that love is the masterpiece. We always have to know that as believers in the kingdom of God. And this is why it's so important that love must be on display. We live in a society now that love truly is not on display. And I remember wife and dialogue, and I was sharing with her, amen, how I woke up early this morning. I believe it was around about close to 3 o'clock and couldn't go back to sleep. So I was praying, and the Lord began to just drop some things in my spirit concerning a dream that I had and concerning what we were in dialogue about this morning, and then a word that he gave me to prepare to release to the people tomorrow. But love is a powerful thing, and that's why when we understand love in itself, in its entirety, love never remains in the mind. Always remember this, people, God, love never remains in the mind. It resonates in the heart. Like I think she said, and I heard, I think, Overseer Piggott prayed in her prayers. It resonates in our heart, and then when it resonates in our heart, then it portrays in what we do, what we say, how we act, and how we treat each other. Amen. Especially when it comes to a man and a woman. My wife read the scripture in Genesis. We're talking about when Adam, when God put him to sleep, and he pulled the rib from Adam and created woman. And then Adam calls her Eve. He gave her her name, mother, Eve, me, mother of all living creation, of creation. And when we understand it, the love that God has given us, because we know he's given us the blueprint of relationship marriages, we have to know that. And many people never answer the call to love due to the lust or the past pain. They never answer the call to love due to lust, pain. We all been there and done that. Oh, I thank God for deliverance and healing. And this is why many things that have been caused when it comes to relationships and marriages, many people don't understand. That's why when we come before a covenant marriage relationship or to get married, most of the time you hear those that officiate in a marriage, when you already know the one that officiated, you already know the man and the woman that's coming together, you know that they're coming together in the eyesight of God and man. Most of the time they don't say this phrase. They will say, can anyone show just cause why this man and this woman shouldn't be joined together in holy matrimony or into a marriage covenant? And because most of the time it's based on the person's life, whether it's that man or that woman, that someone could be sitting in the audience, they may disagree with their relationship. So that's why we have to understand when they say just cause, because there's a cause to something. It was a cause that caused them to come together for that day to join together to marry and live a long life together in a covenant relationship. It was love that caused them to come to that place. Love caused me and my wife to come to that place. Amen. Over 20-some years ago, amen, to say I do, and that we were going to join together as husband and wife, amen, to in sickness and health, poor or whatever. We made that vow. Some people walk away from that because they took love in the beginning and twisted it with lust. And it started out where, okay, it looked like we got it going on, looked like we're doing well, we're doing good. But if love was really in your heart, no matter what has transpired in that relationship between the two of you, if the love is really there in the heart, then that's what we should portray. But I told my wife we're going to go deep. We're going to get to the nitty-gritty, because if people really want to get free, anytime you want something corrected or fixed or a problem, whatever it is, you got to get to the root cause. A lot of people don't like to get to the root cause, so that's why we constantly deal with the same old stuff year after year and deal with the same old stuff, you know, each and every day. We never get to the root cause. I'm the type of person, this is just me. I'm the type of person I like to get to the root cause, because if we don't get to the root cause, then we'll never find out what the real issue is that's causing us not to love from our authentic. It covers all areas between marriage, relationships, ministry, family relationship, whatever it is. Because there's a cause that's causing someone to carry rejection. There's a cause that causes someone to feel or think a certain way. There's a cause. And if we don't get to that place, then we can never get our healing, our deliverance, or our breakthrough. We'll never get there. And that's why we get the same result, because we repeat the same process, because we never deal with the problem at hand. You know, many people were violated, whether from childhood or violated in a relationship. That's why walls go up. That's why pain is there, frustration is there, aggravation is there. And then my wife was talking, I said, not only did people violate them, they even violate themselves. And somebody said, well, how do we violate ourselves? You violate yourself when you go into masturbation, when you go into selling your body to cover up the pain or the deep-rooted issues that you never dealt with, whether it was father wasn't there or you went through a bad marriage or bad relationship. So we cover up that pain, and people will say, okay, I'll allow my body to be sold to ease the pain from the things that I want now. We become selfish. So we grab hold to that. And this is why it's a violation when we get the laws of nature of God, when we masturbate and people selling the bodies. Why? Because your flesh, your body gets into heat. And when it gets into heat, that's why I believe Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 7, I believe 8 and 9, when he said, it's better to marry than to burn. Because many people burn in their flesh because we want sexuality. We want to be with someone from that sexual place. And that's a lustful desire. So that's why he was saying it's better to marry than to burn. So when love calls, as Kim was singing singing in the song, and some of, as my wife stated, some of the lyrics is key, because many people they listen to lies versus really listening to the truth. Because the truth, most of the time, we speak to ourselves, and if we don't speak to ourselves to find out what the lies are, love. We know that we trust love. Love will never fail us. It will never fail. And I had to come to grips, even as a man maturing, growing up, to be able to know what true love is, what authentic love is, that I no longer have to move and shift into what I call feeling emotions or something from the flesh. That's common sense. Now, we know God gives us all common sense. He give us common sense, and then he give us spiritual sense as well when we become believers. And I think that's where one of the places that many of us struggle at. Even if we unsaved, many people don't really understand that. So we just want to dialogue from this place. I do have some instructions or what I call some wise counsel that I will leave with you today to, I believe, encourage you, enlighten you, help you, and strengthen you. Because we always say when it comes to relationships or marriage, there are three types of people. Those that are in a relationship, you're already in a marriage. Those that are desiring to be in a relationship one day. And then those that are waiting or wanting to get out of a relationship. No matter what transpires, people have made up their mind they want to get relationship because something transpired and something went wrong. So it's very important when love calls, we have to allow love to be on display. You want to come back in before I share this? I want to share the key instruction that will help, I believe, many of us, amen, that we're saying, Lord, I want to be in a relationship again. Lord, I want to love from this place again. Maybe you might be a widow. Maybe you might go through a divorce. Maybe you might be in a relationship and still need some what many would call freshen up or some spicing up or some renewal. That's why many people renew their vows after, you know, so many years of being married and being together. We come back into this place of renewal because why? We have matured, we have grown up, and we have came to a place of understanding. I will leave this with you. You know, Proverbs 3, it shares something key here. Let me read that right quick. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 to 8. I want to read that for you here this morning. Amen. When love calls, we have to allow love to be on display, amen, so that we can portray it, because we know many things are changing, and I'll get to that in a minute to show us how many things are changing concerning even in the world, and even has hit God's people, and those things have changed. Proverbs 3, verse 7 to 8 says this. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be help to your flesh and strength to your bones. Strength to your bones. Now, we know that when Adam said Eve concerning her, she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And many things have transpired through many relationships and have caused much pain, much frustration for so many people. My wife, especially when it comes to women, because they're emotional creatures. God created them in a certain way. Men, and so because men messed up or men been out of place of position, so it messed them up. So this is why it's important. So number one, to let love heal us from the wounds and the pain of the past. If we don't allow the love of God, love, his love, because God is love. If we don't allow love to heal us from the wounds and the pain of the past, then guess what? We'll keep right on repeating it. Y'all know history repeats itself, so it is in our body. Same thing. It will keep right on repeating itself. And whatever relationship you go to, if you didn't deal or address the pain, the deep-rooted issues or whatever it was, again, whether it was violation, or the thing that happened in your past, then guess what? It goes over into the next relationship because it was never dealt with. So the other person now has to suffer because y'all be coming together as one. That's why I thank God for the three-strand cord marriage talk. Whether people believe it or not, God is in marriage, in the right marriage between a man and a woman. That's covenant. So that's why we can't negate marriage between a man and a woman. Whether saved or unsaved, God is still in it because he ordained and he orchestrated it. So that's why it's important. So that's we have to come to a place to heal. Whether it takes months, years, we got to let God heal us. This is why it's so important that you come to a place in your healing process before you jump into another relationship. God completely heal you. You'll know when you completely heal, and you know when you'll be ready to go and date again. You'll be at peace. But if you feel that you're on the edge and you feel like if anything, any increment in your mind stating that with this man or this woman will hurt me, or I'm just afraid to just be in this relationship or talk to someone, then you're not healed. You have to let God heal you. And we know love does that for us, because that's still what God has given us. Amen. The masterpiece is love. Love heals. Love cut. My wife read the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Love, you know, it's not puffed up. Love heal all wounds. Love heal all things. But it's in his timing. So we got to let God heal us from that place. Number two, present love in a way that it will not become a lustful desire. All love. We had our partake in that. Present love in a way that it will not become a lustful desire. Now, you say, what you mean, a lustful desire? It won't be at a place where you're looking at, I'm lonely, I'm looking at, I want the American dream. That means, you know, I want a woman or a man that has it all together. That's good. I believe all that's going to come when it's from an authentic place. Love from an authentic place, whether you have anything or not, because that's society we're living in. Most people want somebody to have something. Most people don't want nobody that don't have anything, because they want to go somewhere together, even though they're coming as one. But it has to be from a authentic place. We must present love. Because if you present it from what I call a false place, or from a lie that go back to part of what Kim was saying in his song, Pride About Lies. We lie to ourselves. And if we can't get to that place of authentic, being real with the person that you're coming into that relationship with, or real with yourself, love, and not from a, because a lot of people hide. I'm telling my wife this morning, a lot of people hide. They hide behind their pain. They hide behind the things that they don't want to talk to people about or share. So if they keep hiding, as I talk to the people, I share with them all the time about why Adam and Eve put them fig leaves on. They were hiding from God. But at the same time, people are hiding. And we could dress up the outside, but deep within the wounds, you're putting Band-Aids on, those cuts, those bruises, those areas that really been damaged and you really have not gotten healed. And that's why a lot of people walk around frustrated, angry, and they want to be by themselves. Well, so they never present love in a way duplicated. God duplicated love. That's why he put it in me. When he created Adam and Eve, he duplicated himself through them. There was a representation of that covenant, that marriage. When God put Adam to sleep, pulled his rib from him, and then created woman. That's why she's called woman. Whoa, woman. Wow. Woman. So that's from an authentic place. So we have to duplicate that so we can be fruitful and multiply. What had messed us up in multiplying, we have been in a place of multiplying with different people. That's really we had came into covenant with, but never came our husband or our wives. I can be transparent about it. I messed up, but thank God I can come to a place of repent. And that me and my wife come, when we came into covenant relationship, amen, the things that happened in our past, God forgave us for those things that we've done in our past, and that he was taking us and bringing us into where we at now, and still what he's doing in and through our lives, so we no longer have to live the lies that many people are living. They're living lies, illusion and delusion, false deception, all of that. So that's why it's important that we present love in that way. We have to duplicate the love that God has given us. And number three, you have to discern love to make sure it's real. Discern love to make sure it's real. Again, fake love will disguise itself. Disguise itself. Fake love will disguise itself. I don't know about y'all, but I can talk for me. When I was in the world, player. That's a fake disguise, because I wasn't looking for marriage. I wasn't really looking for a relationship to settle down. So my mindset was from a lustful, fleshful place to gratify the desires that I wanted. So messing around with different women. vice versa. Some of you women do the same. So it has to be from an authentic place. To discern love, I go back what I said earlier about common sense. Now, God gave us five senses, common sense. That's why I can't understand why many people get played on, amen, when they should be using the common sense. Because I know there's somebody out there for everybody, but you don't want to be played on, amen. If you're a man playing on a woman, know this woman loves you, and you're playing on her, vice versa. If a man loved this woman and the woman playing on him, then that's a fake love. Become a believer, then God gives the spiritual senses. That's where your discerning comes in at, your discernment. You have to discern. Is this authentic love? When love calls, is this love really calling? Is it calling? I think R. Kelly came out with, my body's calling. That's from a place where my flesh is calling, the lust is calling. Really that I have, because I really, when I came into a relationship with my wife, I knew it from the heart that I really wanted this woman. It wasn't where I wanted to play. Yeah, in the beginning it started out, but after a while, hey, this woman, man, is marriage. This woman, I can marry this woman. Yes, I was a little shaky and nervous because being younger and immature as a man, I used to do. I saw my mom and daddy, what a relationship looked like between a man and a woman, and some of my family members and other people that they had longevity in their relationship, but they still have mishaps, they still have flaws, things happen, but they were working out the kinks. But fake love, they stay together and live together for years. Woman desire to want to get married to that man, they living in the same house under the same rules, got bills together, but when she present the question of that, she choose not to get married, or vice versa, because you got some women don't want to get married to that just feel like, hey, man, I can play the field. Why get married when I'm getting everything free? Mindset. If you're getting something free, that's what I said about when it comes to marriage material. If you can get it free, then why you want to marry and settle down? So that's why you got to disguise between the fake love. It can disguise itself from a lustful place, and we think it's love, and it ain't really love. You be saying, wow, that woman really loves me, or that man really loves me, just because they buying you gifts or giving you this, taking you out to dinner, or all this different stuff, stroking your ego and all of this different stuff. But it's behind the scenes. Wow, you know when it's play, and that's why you see people running people down. And, you know, I think about this from back in the day. I seen, you know, some of my homeboys and friends and how, you know, they call themselves being in a relationship, have a main squeeze, but have other females on the side, and then particular females run them down or vice versa. They run a woman down. And after a while, when that woman or that man find out that this person really wants them, so and they don't really want them, so what they do, they play on them. So it's like a fake love disguise. They disguise it. It's key. So number four. Bless and prosper your relationship. Prayer in me and my wife, marriage and our relationship, when love calls. We love each other from an authentic place. We love from a place that God is teaching us and helping us personally and then coming together as one. So he blessed our lives, prospering us. Why it's important that and prosper your life. And that's what love do. Why in the world would you want to be in a relationship and you're not blessed and prospering in it? It's like pain, frustration, aggravation, disappointment. I don't get me wrong. We're going to have some of that. That's our disagreement and our intense fellowship. That's part of maturing and growing. But constantly you're in it and you're dealing with that on a daily basis. Something wrong with that. That ain't love. Love don't operate from that place. That's why it's important you let love bless and prosper your life, because that's what love does. And that's God's desire for a covenant relationship between a man and a woman, a marriage. That's what he wants, for us to be blessed and prosper in every aspect of our lives. So that's important. You have to let love bless and prosper your relationship. Because if not, if you're in a relationship where you're being verbally abused, you're being physically abused, you being manipulated, you being taken control of and advantage of, that's not blessing and prospering your life. Go up to other avenues and other things. And this is why people go outside of their marriage and their relationship. Amen? All right. And number four, I'm going to leave this last one with you. You, like I said it earlier, you got to trust love. It will never fail you. Lies do. Lies will fail you. Believe in lies, and like I said, they're lying to themselves. If you don't trust the love, true love that God has set before you, you might want to check your relationship. The love. Many people don't trust the love before them or the relationship they're in. Why? Because, again, they have not let go of the past, the pain. They may have been cheated on. They may have went through this in that relationship, went through that in that relationship. So when the other person come in their life in a covenant relationship, so that's why it's like they own them like butter, like rice. They can't even breathe without the person on them trying to search or find their every move. Why? Because of, again, insecurity. Because of the different things that they don't trust. Man, my wife built trust over the years. Did she go out with her friends? Hey, so what? I think she had to share with one of her friends some years ago when I would go out and fish late. Man, my son used to go out and fish late at night. That was the best fishing. Fishing like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Fishing late out that time of night. But she knew where I was. Some people would think that, wow, you remember how Maurice used to be. They'd be thinking that, wow, he could be out cheating. But my wife didn't think like that. She trusted me. She trusted the love. Because from their past, if a man cheats, a woman cheats, he's a cheater. So those are lies. Past, our relationship with the Lord, he changes all of that. So that's why you have to trust the love. It will never fail. Love never fails. So it's very important. And then you want to come back in, honey, before I share this other piece? Yeah, I did, but I'm going to come back and share something later.
When I think about when love calls, and when you hear the lyrics, when love is on its way, it's something that you said, and I've heard it quite often, but I want to bring another part to it. So many times we hear that women are emotional creatures. Yes, that may be true, and yes, we may lead with our emotions, but one thing I've learned on this journey and in relationships, dealing with people, counseling, talking, having conversation, what I found out in real life is men are emotional as well. They don't know how to love, and that began at birth. When the mother gave birth, there may have been some issues in the midst of carrying, or once the child was brought forth, issues in relationship, and sometimes what people see as love is really pain and hurt from the betrayal of a relationship, so they did not show true love to that child. And so even in men, they are emotional because they don't know how to love a woman. They don't know how to love themselves. All they think about is being a provider. And so in that, I think about when people in general are emotional, that we need to go to God when it comes to love and love from his standpoint. So many have loved for material gain, and that is not what love is. When you think about Matthew 6 and 33, it says, but first and foremost, importantly, aim and strive at his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. So God is our provider. He will provide the things that we need, and yes, he does it through people. But if love is the reason why we are marrying or in a relationship with a person because of what they can do for us, what they can give to us, what they can provide for us, then we've already missed what the purpose of love is. And so many people marry for that reason, and then when all the material things are the material possessions are no longer there, They're hurt, and then they feel as though love isn't calling. I don't like this person. I don't love this person. I'm not in love with them. Well, why did you marry them in the beginning? Was it truly love, or was it for the material things, possessions, the things they did, how they treated you, what they gave you, what they handed you, the money, the car, the houses? Is it, was it for all those reasons? And so when those things are gone, or when those things cease, or that person is no longer able to give you those things, is love still the master key? And is love still on your mind and in your heart for this, the person that you say God sent you, the relationship that you know that God ordained? Are you saying that love is at the forefront and in this relationship? 9 times out of 10, people go back and they evaluate what truly, what the relationship was. And you said it earlier. You said you mentioned the word lust. Well, lust is what we see, is what we feel, is what we, the false pretenses of what love is. It's actually lust. And so the other thing that I wanted to point out is that love builds. It doesn't tear down one another. It builds you up. And when you think about that, you are building on a solid foundation, which is through the word of God and through what God says love is. Love is in, you said it starts in the mind, then to the heart, then portrays through your words and actions. Yes, that is true. But if love is not within us, if love does not reword that. If love is not portrayed through the word of God, and if love is not in you, then you can't love someone else. So we always must go back to God, who is the originator of what love is. God is love, and he loves us, and he also wants us to know that there is power in love. So when we can go to God asking him to renew our mind and to remove all false perceptions of what love is, then really love is calling and love is on the way, and then there's nowhere for us to go. When we're stable in who we are in God, when we're stable in God's love, then you can endure everything that has been placed before you. But you have to know that it's God. Every relationship, marriage, friendship is going to go through something. But if you know it is of God, then you have to go to God, who is the originator of love, the relationship who created us, to actually help you through to be healed. So pain won't be what's leading you. It's the purpose of that relationship of what God called you to.
Amen. That's good stuff. Yes, 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 Lord. Love calls. Now let's, I don't know, we share from that place. Amen. Just some words of wisdom to help many of us, amen, on this journey, what we call love relationship or marriage. Because, again, we all don't know it all. We learn and we gravitate from each other, especially when it comes to the word of God and the things of God, or, again, by experience sharing from that place of a marriage or relationship. Go back to this dream that I had this morning, and then I was open, woke. God began to, the Lord began to say, many people are listening to the call of the wild. And he began to show me the different things. It was almost like I was out like in the Amazon or the jungle. I can hear lions roaring, bears growling. I can even hear the animals and the things that were creeping on the ground. I can hear it so clear. Most people call it rainforest in different places. But I believe that's what they would call like the spirit out in the spirit. And then and then the Lord took me back. And I heard when I was like, opened my eyes up, I heard the Lord say crossbreeding. Crossbreeding. I had to look the word up. Crossbreeding. I've never heard it from back in the day when, you know, people crossbreed dogs. Now I understand the terminology why, you know, the old saying would say all men's are dogs or men's are dogs. But what the Lord began to show me concerning that was with the crossbreeding, because we're living in a society that is changing. The crossbreeding part, instead of us being fruitful multiplying from a covenant relationship, we crossbreed. That's why you see a lot of things are changing now, because most crossbreeding comes from what they call animals and plants. Man does that, whether they do it in their labs or scientists or whatever, or just people in general. We crossbreed because this is how you get what we call blended families and different stuff like that. But crossbreeding is because why now the man puts his seed over in a woman that will never become his wife, and we produce his children, and different things start taking place. So this is why a lot of men are losing their kingship and priestly position. God showed me this. I heard it so loud and clearly. And he said a lot of women are leaving their queenship and their femininity. Now, I'm going to take y'all to a scripture they led me to. Took me over to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to read this for you right quick, starting at the 18th verse. This is what is happening in the world, y'all, in the earth realm. Amen. We've all been there and done that. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? Unrighteousness. Verse 19 said, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, or manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood in the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what? And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruption, a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, by dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. This is why we see a society, and that's why I say, if you don't get to the problem, the root cause, or whatever it is, you're going to pass from generation to generation. It's, you know, you'll see, and especially I was thinking how when God said crossbreed, how now we have same-sex marriages, that's a crossbreed, how we people are now being if they can't have children, you know, they get assimilated by their husband's sperm or by a donor or something like that. But at the same time, things happen because of unrighteousness, because of what? Men of their own thoughts and their ways. I think you said it earlier. So they're doing their own thing instead of doing it God's way. Now, we know God is the masterpiece, the master key. He gives the master key, I think. The Force and Beats came out with a song some years ago, Love is a House. He has the master key. And God has given us that. That's why when love calls, people are answering the call of the wild instead of answering the call of God through what? Authentic love. When I say the call of the wild, call of the wild, don't you know the devil gave the call in the garden? He shifted that. That's how humanity got shifted, because Satan came from the wild, even though we know he was in heaven, but he was cast into the wild. That's why he transformed himself into a serpent and spoke to the woman, the weaker vessel, and then all that transpired. So this is what we're dealing with today, even though we know God gave us a Savior. But when he gave that to me and showed that to me this morning, I said, wow. I said, instead of us being fruitful and multiplying the right way, we're being fruitful multiplying the wrong way instead of doing it God's way. So now we deal with a society, and people wonder why all this stuff going on in the world. We wonder why chemical imbalance throwed off. We wonder why we're dealing with toxic soul ties. We're dealing with all this stuff, man, from the past, pain, issues, all this stuff, man, is just weighing us down because we listen to the call of the wild. And this is why things have been sold to us, especially us as black people, been sold to us. And this is why when we go into sexual activities and different stuff, we start doing the wild. Wild. I told you, freaks come out at night. We start doing wild stuff. send us for us to do wild stuff. Men go to prison, shipping from their kingdom, their kingship, shipping from their priestly place. They're in prison. Now they take some things in prison, because now they're in the mess with each other. Now we come out, now we look at, all we look at now is women's butt. We look at the physique of a woman, and I always say what comes out of the woman's butt. Nothing but garbage, nothing but waste. How can we look at a butt and tie that to God? So this is how we shifted. We lost our kingship and our priestly position. And women lose their queenship and their femininity because the man out of place and position. So they now to get carried away on of the home. They now got to try to be the father to, well, I'm saying using this terminology, but I know they can't be the father, but at the same time they got to do the role, they got to do them duty because no man is in place. The father, he may be passed on. The husband, he's in prison or he's in street or he's on video games. He's not taking care of his roles and his duties as a man to what? To protect his family, be the provisionary for the family. So he's losing that place, even though, I think he said it earlier, honey, even though he thinks he's the man, the provider, but he done lost that place. So let me give this, and then I'll turn it back over to you. If a man wants a good woman to become his queen, it's what he must do. He must change his perspective and take on the mind of God. He can't keep changing the sheets. That means moving from bed to bed, because we've been there and done that. People move from bed to bed trying to find the right woman. He has to change his mind. Let me say that again. If a man wants a good woman to become his queen, he must change his perspective and take on the mind of God. God created man in his image. He created Adam in his image and his likeness. He can't keep changing the sheets. So we can change some sheets, y'all. Wash them, put them back down. Bring another person in. So he have to change his mind if he want a queen. Now, if queens, if you fall for the okie-dokie, you're in trouble. If a woman wants a good man, she must pray for a God man. Let me say that again. If a woman wants a good man, she must pray for a God man. This man has to love the Lord. Now, if you're looking for a man, just a man to take care of you, a man to be your protector, a man that just be one that just living life as a man, you might be in trouble too. You want to pray for a God man, a man that will love his wife, love his family, amen? A man that will set the example because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's what you want to pray for, a God man. There's a lot of good men out there, but ain't a God man. Because a good man, if he's not a God man, he can step out on you too. You won't even know it. A good man, he might be taking care of the bills, but where Papa lay his head at, that's he make his home. I know people don't like this kind of talk, but this is the life we live in, y'all. This is the reality we're in. This is in the church too. A woman, if you want a good man, pray for a God man. Just don't take any man. Because there are a lot of men out there, a lot of women out there, but just don't take any man. And men, just don't take any woman. You are a woman that's going, if you're a God man, a woman that's going to submit to God and submit to you, and you love her as your queen, your relationship can last. Your relationship can stand. But if y'all playing games, it ain't going to last. It ain't going to work. You'll keep right on having tense fellowship. You keep around going around the mountain, and you'll keep right on ending up back at the same place year after year. That's real talk. There we are. Real talk. Amen. We love calls. Don't keep answering the call of the wild, animal kingdom. Amen? Answer the call of the kingdom of God. When you answer that call, God will set everything in proper order and alignment, just like he did with Adam and Eve. We don't allow the animal kingdom to shift us, cause us to start doing it doggy style. Snoop Dogg, he tell you. Amen? All these things we take on, and we take it in sexuality. That's why you see women in Hollywood, in the music industry, even men, putting all this tight stuff on, becoming harlots and prostitutes in their own right. It might not be selling the bodies in that way, but at the same time, you presenting your body to a people saying, wow, look how good she looks, look how fine he is. Come on, this real talk. Love calls. Love must be on display, not display from your unrighteousness, not display from the things that you want to do or what you think love is. That ain't love because you're living in a $1 million house. You could be living in that house and all the rooms are empty because the love of God ain't in the house. And you can't love each other from that place. You can buy a person all the gifts in the world. Some people still, it's a void there because why? The love has not filled. So when love calls, love must be on display. Let love be on display. Amen. I just wanted to share that piece.
Well, when you were talking about the kingship and the priestly positions, the queenship, and women operating out of their femininity, what dropped in my spirit was that when you think about good versus God in any relationship, the scripture that dropped in my spirit was Philippians 4:8. Godly means that we are to represent the characteristics of God. And Philippians 4:8 gives us things, and this is not just for the man, but for the woman as well. It says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So when you think of these, we also have to make sure that as we're thinking that we're applying and walking it out. And so good versus godly, whatever we do, it needs to represent God in what we say, what we do, where we go, how we respond, how we react, how we act, what we represent when we're out in public, not just in home. And so often there is the tug of war in relationships, marriage, and in marriage because they have not identified truly who or what it is they represent and what they stand for. And when you have someone who is wishy-washy in their mind, then their heart is the same way, and so it protrudes and manifests when they're out publicly. And so we have to make sure that whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, in the home, inside the four walls, outside of the four walls, that whatever it is, that we represent God. It's okay to be good, but you can be good, but make sure it's God.
Yes, Lord, that's powerful. That's powerful. And it's a process. We have to come to learn this. Again, I believe that's why God uses believers, the men and women of God, in the earth to be that example, to share information, wealth of knowledge such as we share, whether it's from the Word of God or from our experiences by the leading of God's Spirit to help other people, especially this generation. I keep reminding the people that this generation changes. And I know every generation change. And, man, with the stuff that's changing, I was thinking this morning, I said, wow, man. I said, Lord, if you tarry and we're here by 2050, man, we might be living in the earth, it might be look like space. But that's what man's creating, and that's why a lot of things are changing. And we see, again, relationships changing. People put their careers and all these different things because, why? It's become now about the money. Has become about now pride of who we are. I mean, all that's sold to us. And people take it on, and we think that's the American dream or that's the life to live. I believe truly, y'all, full is the life we can live is in God, and he'll begin to allow all the other things, like you said in Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite passages of scripture. He'll begin to allow all the other stuff to be added to our lives, whatever it is, companionship, friendship, renewal, restoration of our family through that love, because that love always originates and comes from an authentic place. It's going to come from the heart. If you harbor something in your heart, if you're holding on to something because of what somebody said, what somebody done, what they took you through, again, like I said, even us violating ourselves. If we violate ourselves, guess what? We violate the laws and nature of God. And this is what that do. That open the door up now for lies. And we'll start believing them. We'll start thinking certain things. Nobody wants me. I'm not, I'm not lovable. I'm not, what they say, I'm not at a place where I feel that anybody wants to marry me, or, you know, all thoughts and stuff come to people's minds. So that's why the scripture tells us we got to pull that stuff down. We got to cast it down, because that comes from what we call that flesh, that lustful place. We don't cast it down, it will become a stronghold. And that's why many people are dealing with strongholds when it comes to relationships. Even when it comes to marriages, strongholds. That's why people take on contracts. I had to share with a couple about you're covenant relationship. You're not coming into a contract. Contracts are made to be broken. You're saying before God and before your family and before friends, you're coming into this covenant. It's going to be an eternal covenant until death do you part. It's not you signing this piece of paper, putting your name on it, and you coming together, living together, and think that's it. No, it's covenant. That's what those rings represent. It's no beginning, there's no end. It's covenant, so that's why you got to understand that from that place. Even whether we're younger or we up in age, we still have to understand it from that place when love calls. When love calls, you're going to know. As I told my friend a long time ago, hey, man, I knew love was calling me to this woman. You can run, but you can't hide. Love, when love calls, as Kim said, you can't hide. When true love calls and it shows up, you better grab hold to it because you might stay in what we call lust mode. You might stay in that place and it could really mess your life up. Amen. Again, a lot of people will find themselves walking life lonely. So I just wanted to share that piece this morning. We wanted to dialogue from this place when love calls. Amen. We must let love be on display. Come on, Father.
When love calls, it doesn't control. It's not unselfish, but it supports, it uplifts, encourages. It will not intentionally hurt you, but it embraces you. And then you learn to love each other, learn to live in God's principles and purposes of your marriage, your relationship. And it does not allow you to suffer. Love will cause you to grow and invest in one another, push each other. Again, won't tear each other down, but what you do, you're in, just like I think about so often, I am your biggest cheerleader. No matter what we've encountered in life, I love you and I love what God has done in us and what he's done through you. And so if no one else is there in your corner, in spite of life issues, life challenges, I am there as your biggest cheerleader to support you, to push you, and will always be there and won't allow anything to come in between us because I know love called us to this place.
Powerful, honey. Likewise, powerful, powerful. My God, it's just a blessing to, man, when I think back over the years and how far the Lord has brought us, amen, we tell people all the time, transparent about it, if God had not been on our side and in our lives, man, you know we would not survive to be at this place, to be able to share from this place to encourage other people. I call that part of wise counsel as well because we do encourage other people, whether it's on our job, family, or other relationship that might be going through some challenges. You know, God has graced us to be able to share from this place to help them, whether they choose to remain in it or they choose to move on. That's between them and God. We never tell people to get out of a relationship or you need to move on. That's between them and God. But at the same time, if the signs are there, then you better make up your mind and do what you need to do to get free. Because a lot of people ain't free, man. They're in bondage in their mind, bondage in relationship, bondage here, bondage there. I remember somebody was sharing something years ago, how they had them in a particular bondage because they were taking the scriptures and holding the scriptures on particular people's heads, saying that, you know, they went through this tremendous separation. And I believe this person really wanted their marriage, but because the husband stepped out and went, you know, out of the relationship and went into divorce, but because of this particular, again, denomination, taking their doctrine and saying, well, you need to stick with your husband, and he done stepped outside of the marriage and the relationship. Now, we understand forgiveness, but at the same time, if you keep doing it over and over and over again, how do we expect God to heal that or heal you for you to move on to even really trust that person that stepped outside of the marriage or relationship, but because of what they said? So I tell people, you better know what God said, amen, because you follow people's opinion and their thoughts, and they're not tying it or connected to God or to the word of God, then it can keep you in bondage. And this person stays in this place for many years when they could have came into a relationship with another person, because if the person stepped outside of the marriage that caused the damage in the relationship or the wounds, the pain, the hurt. So they stuck in it because of what these people over here believe in through their doctrine, telling somebody to stay in something when these people living in pain and frustration. This is another person not enjoying their lives, doing whatever they want to do, and you stuck because you don't want to override what they said. I always say, what did God say? If God said something, then that's what you need to obey. He forgive us. He forgive us of our sins. He forgive us of our wrongdoing. You just got to trust him. So we just bless the Lord on this morning. Amen. All right. Amen. We'll stop right there when love calls. Again, I say love must be on display. Administrator, we'll take announcements or a commercial, and then we'll come back to open the lines up for any questions or comments for us this morning.
Dr. LaRon Matthews would like to personally invite you to join Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries and LaRon Matthews Ministries for their weekly services as follows. Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., it's Facebook Live.
Find the broadcast on LaRon Matthews' Facebook page.
11 a.m., in-person and virtual worship experience at 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., a powerful prophetic teaching in person and virtual.
Find this broadcast on the RFPIM Facebook page.
Dr. LaRon Matthews is also a licensed Christian counselor and life coach. If you desire counseling, please feel free to contact the office at 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027. For rates and available times, to receive more about the ministry, you can visit the ministry website at www.werestoreyou.org.
That's www.werestoreyou.org.
God bless you.
God bless you, Apostle Simmons and Poverty Simmons. Just a quick reminder that tomorrow, Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, they're celebrating 20 years in ministry for Dr. LaRon Matthews. And to all leaders, if you will, check your email address. There's been a Zoom link that's been sent out to you. If you want to be involved in the link on tomorrow, wishing Dr. Matthews 20 years in ministry. Again, if you will, check your email. All leaders, check your email for the Zoom link if you desire to be involved in the Zoom link on tomorrow for his celebration. Also, we're in a brand new month, and we've adopted the third Sunday in every month as Love Sunday for Dr. Matthews. And if you desire to bless the man of God, you can do so by visiting the ministry website at werestoretheletteru.org, and Cash App at @RFPIM. You can Zelle at werestoreyou@yahoo.com, or you can give us a call at 877-912-2027, 877-912-2027, or you can call the local ministry at 708-825-1988. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you, Minister. Thank you. People of God, let us govern ourselves accordingly. Amen. And as we continue to pray for the man of God and all that God is doing in and through, amen, ministry, thank God for every covenant partner, every leader, amen, that's covenant with the man of God in his ministry, especially the prophetic conference line. Amen. We pray that we continue to be obedient to God and the leading of his spirit. Amen. That people will be blessed. Amen. So we say certain thank God for you. All right, administrator, we have anything over in the chat room before we go to the blog side or conference line?
We have several comments, Apostle Simmons, and they wanted to say thank you. And one gentleman in the chat room said thank you because he truly believes that love calls and love's going to call for him. And they appreciate this teaching this morning.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank y'all for tuning in this morning. Amen. For whatever city, state, time zone you have tuned in. Bless you. Amen. For listening in this morning. All right. Amen. If you're on the block side, got a question or comment for us, hit one on your dial, and you can come right in with any question or comment this morning. All right. Amen. If you're on the conference line, you can star 6, open your line up, and come right on in. If you got a question or comment for us this morning.
God bless you, Apostle, and God bless you, Prophet.
God bless you.
Thank you for what you shared this morning. Both of you are full of wisdom. I'm thankful for you as my leader, both of you as my leaders, because you're constantly teaching us on a daily basis on how we should present ourselves and how we should seek the face of God in all things that we do, and even regarding our relationships with him as well as with others. And even based off of this teaching today, when love calls, love is calling us. God is calling us to teach us how to love others so that we can, teaching us how to love so that we can love ourselves and to be able to love others in the way that he designed it, because the world has given us false ideas. You see relationships just breaking up and, you know, people coming together, breaking up, and you're seeing all kinds of stuff that's taking place. And then even it's happening in the church because they ate off of the wrong tree, you know, instead of eating from the tree of life. And what's sad is that even in relationships and families, you see as well as generational things where even in some of my family, where some are not married, but they have children, or they have and they're not married, or they once was married and now they're divorced. And there's just so many things that has been passed down, you know. And so I thank God that what you're sharing is giving us wisdom on what how we should conduct ourselves in our relationships, and learning how to forgive, learning how to let go, even having confidence in each other and building each other up, supporting one another, loving each other. And even as a woman of God was saying, show asking God to show us how to love our spouses, you know, because the way that we may perceive it, you know, may not be the way that is coming off the right way. But if God, if we allow God to show us how to love our spouses, then he's going to show, then we can proceed how to love them. And knowing that they are emotional too, but they may not show it in a certain way, you know, God will show us how to do that. It's like hand in glove. It makes a lot of sense. So I thank you both for what you shared on today. It is very more than educational. It's life-saving for me and for my family. So God bless you.
Amen. God bless you as well, woman of God. And that's why, you know, y'all hear me say all the time, always share, a good leader is a God leader, a leader that will not compromise, a leader that will tell the people the truth, a leader that will have the love for God's people and not manipulate, control people. Because I share with people all the time that if you don't pray and discern when it comes to leaders, because you only see them right before you, but God sees them behind the scenes. People don't know what leaders are. Some are influential. You don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. Some of them live in double lives. And that's why when you pray, because there are good leaders out there that sound educated, eloquent, look good, got big ministries and churches. But you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Some of them got girlfriends and wives and a whole lot of stuff going on. And you don't never see that. You won't never understand that. Not saying you're judging people, but you really got to pray that God will let you sit under them. And this is wrong with the pews. The pews are messed up because the leaders are afraid to offend people. They're afraid that if they tell the truth, they're going to offend the people and lose the people. The people will stop tithing, giving, stop supporting. They're afraid of that. So that's why they won't tell the people the truth. So bless you, woman of God. I just pray that the Lord will continue to keep us as his leaders, and that we will continue to give the people the truth and give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that comes from God, that they could go back and search the scriptures for themselves, go back and pray to God that he will help them in their relationship or their relationship with him. So bless you on today, woman of God. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle. And also, Apostle, if I may mention, I believe y'all mentioned about love and lust, and there is a difference between the two. And if your relationship is built firstly on lust, you know, you have to make sure that the love, you know, in some cases, you know, some people have gotten married before they got into church, or vice versa, or it may have been lust and they got married. But if that all fades away, then what do you really have, you know? And I know that you know, from experience that it's beyond sex, you know, that, you know, when you're in a relationship, when you're in a marriage relationship, because it's when everything else fades, you know, you have something, you, when your spouse is sick or when both of y'all are sick or when there's a situation that you did not cause on yourself, but life happens, what do you really have to stand on? And so it's like you have to make sure that whatever and whoever you marry, you know, it is for the good. And that's why so many people are getting divorces all the time because they can't handle the pressure. But in the vows it says to life, do, you know, for sickness and health, till death do us part. And so when God, what God put together, let no man put asunder, but sometimes we force ourselves into relationships that God has never even ordained in the first place. So I just want to encourage people on the line to just keep, stay focused on and listen to the voice of God. Don't fall into, like you said, the okie doke over something or someone because of, out of loneliness, out of desperation, out of, you know, whatever the case is, because you feel that that person is going to take care of you. But seek God first, only seek him first, and he will add everything else to you. God bless you, Apostle.
Amen. Bless you as well, woman of God. And that's why we always encourage that, you know, when it comes back to relationship again, when it comes to relationship between a man and a woman, whether they're married or in a relationship, important that you pray that God will be in it and that he will keep you in the midst of whatever you go through. I think I was sharing with somebody, they thought I was a little comical, funny about it, but I said, don't you know, talking to some brothers, don't you know we're going to get old one day? I was telling about, I said, me and my wife's beautiful. I said, she considered me as a handsome man, but we're going to get old one day, and we're going to lose the tendencies of sexual, you know, attractions or whatever, but the love of God that's in us will continue to keep us in that right frame of mind to love each other. Because, again, a lot of people, they get into relationships due to lust. And when they get, after a while, become common to them, that's why people step outside of the relationship, because now it becomes common where it's just, oh, it's just sex, or it's just being intimate, or just we just see each other all the time. No, if the love of God ain't in you, whether male or female, then you're going to deal with that on this journey where somebody say, well, I got my man wrapped around my finger, I got my woman locked in. No, people, God better be in it. The society we living in now, don't trust me. You better have him locked in that he is a keeper. So when you get lonely at night or in that cold bed, somebody want a man or woman laying up beside them to keep them warm. That's what three-strand cord talks about over there in Ecclesiastes 4:12. 4:11 talks about when one, amen, when two are better than one, when one is cold, in some of the words, they come together to bring heat. Because when they get cold, somebody want to get warm. But that's the problem, because people marry for all the wrong reasons. Lust, when the money run out, are you still going to be there? When the house is gone in foreclosure, are you still going to be there? Amen. When the kids are acting up, are you still going to be there? Or did you really marry for love, or you really marry for lust? Because you know when love calls, because God is a keeper, and God, when he's in it, he will keep you through it all. So that's the peace. So thank you, woman of God, for sharing that. Amen. All right.
Greetings to the apostle, to the prophetess, to my brother, to my sister. Powerful topic on this morning. I was thinking, you know, true love to me, you know, when you speak of true love and respect go hand in hand.
Yes.
So it's okay to respect and love someone enough to move on or out to reset, so that there's no hurt involved. I guess, you know, when relationships are of God, it may need to take that break to heal so that you're eliminating, you know, the impact of hurting the other person. Otherwise, to me, it seems like it comes off as using someone. I know, you know, there were other words that, y'all used throughout the dialogue, but you know, when it comes off as using someone because of knowing the other person loves them, that's not respect. And I'm looking at, you know, this love thing is so much, it's so deep. I mean, you know, like you said, it's not the physical. You really have to get into the, you know what, in order not to seem selfish, in order not to continue to hurt someone. You know what? This may be needed so that we can reset, because mm-hmm. anything that's of God will come back together.
Yes, Lord.
But don't stay in the midst of it because of the circumstance or the need or as someone said, being lonely, or I need that monetary financial assistance, you know, help. Look at the big picture. How can we help others when we're not, you know, when we're portraying this, oh, I'm just going to stay in it until, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm going to say this. We can pray, we trust God, but I also believe that it's not God's will for us to stay in abuse, because there's mental, there's physical, verbal. So I believe at some point we really have to take the blinders off and say, okay, God, until you come in the midst of this and fix this, this may be the best alternative. And anything that's his will come back together.
Powerful. Powerful, no doubt. And that's why he gives us wisdom. We have to take on his wisdom. Good to hear you this morning, sis. It's good to take on his wisdom, because if we follow how we feel, then we'll move out of what we think. We'll move out of what we're dealing with or going through at the time, and we'll make that choice and the decision based upon that. And really, it's not nowhere where you consulted God in it, you know, into our own hands and say, well, God will work it out, God will do this and God will do that. No, he's given us the willpower to be able to do it. But if we choose to remain and stay in it, then guess what? I tell you, people think stuff falling out of the sky. No. Bless the Lord. Thank you, woman of God. So true, so true. We need that. That's a wisdom that we need. We don't need to stay in something that's hurting us, abusing us, messing us up, blocking us, stopping us, hindering us from moving into our purpose and moving into life and everything that God called us to. Some people are blinded in that place. Can't see it, and it takes somebody to sometimes to pray or encourage them so that they can see. Amen. I'm truly, man, how blind. I was telling someone not long ago, I said, man, if I know what I know now, but I understood back then, I was blinded, because I really didn't have nobody to, I would say, I ain't going to say I had nobody. I'm going to just say I didn't want it at the time. Put it that way. I didn't want it at the time. Amen. And that's why, until I made up my mind that the blindness come off and God let your will be done for my life, that was the only way that I broke free. So thank you for sharing that, woman of God. Amen. All right. Anyone else? You on the block, side one, on your dial. God bless you.
Phenomenal morning, Apostle Simmons and my sister, Prophetess Simmons. This is Prophetess Rice. The lesson was so good, because I'm in this place of, as y'all were talking about love, I'm looking at things not just in the physical. I'm looking at the relationship with God and how our first relationship should exemplify what the natural relationship should look like with another person. How you are with God is how I'm looking at how you would treat me. If you're less from God, then you're lusting in the natural just as much, because a lot of times your relationship with God is everybody want from God, but they're not giving. You cheating on God, you're going to cheat on me. You lying to God, you're going to lie to me. So what you were saying about praying and ask God to reveal things to you pertaining to people, I'm looking at the actions of how people's relationship with God is. Because if you do it to God, you do it 10 times worse than me. So I'm watching those things in this season, especially things I've been going through with dealing with people. I've been watching, well, let me start paying attention with your relationship with God first. How you treating God, how you talking to God, how you talking about God, how you walking with God. I'm really watching those things right now in this season of my life. God bless you, but thank you for this teaching, because you just opened me up to other things that I need to be watching also, and even within my, making sure my relationship, my love relationship with God is even tighter. But I thank you for that because it was a self-check for me also. God bless you both.
Amen. God bless you as well, woman of God. Amen. When you were talking, going back to something that one of the brothers that comes into the barbershop maybe said, I don't know how we got on the conversation, just was talking. We do a lot of talking, a little comical in the barbershop, making the guys laugh. He told me, he said the reason why he go to church, he said he go for the women. And, I like the guy because he tell the truth. But at the same time, y'all know I had to hit him with the word and explain to him about certain things. But that's where a lot of men mindset at. And that's why I think I was saying about the fake love, it would disguise itself. He's a prime example of that. And based upon what you say you really got to discern, you really got to pray to see where a person is at, especially in their walk with God. So they're coming to the church, looking at this guy. But they looking for something, and they want something. But I know this brother is moving and operating from a hurt place because he used to be married years ago. And the fault is his because, in the barbershop and the beauty salon, they talk about everything, and they share their business. But at the same time, I had the courage. I pray for him. I'm an example to him. They look to me to get the counsel. But that's what he said, the reason why he go to church. And that's why not only men but ladies have to really pray and discern because there are a lot of men coming to church just for that reason. I'm going to church to find me a wife. They ain't coming to find no wife. Come on, Mar, they might be, really. But bless you, woman of God. Good to hear you this morning.
Truly bless God for those who have shared so far. I want to tap on something that Prophetess Tina, God bless you, said, because as she was getting ready to say it, I already wrote it. When love calls, it causes you to do a self-check, to observe, examine, and to eliminate. And so often in the body of Christ, or just in life, you have people, you hear this saying about you need to have common sense. Well, some people have common sense, but the common sense can be nonsense to some. They will allow sin in everything, not love. And so common sense means that we take the time to pull back, to do a self-check, to observe, examine, eliminate those things in us. And if it causes us to pull back, pull away, to make correction God's way, then do it God's way, but make sure that when love calls that you're healing in the process. In a process, it takes time, and we as a body of people, we like to put our hands in it, our mouths in it, ourselves in it, and do it put your hand in the cookie jar. But really, you're not allowing God to do it. You're just a shell of a person that's interrupting and interfering and trying to be a God instead of letting God do the work. So when love calls, we allow God to do it his way, and we do that self-check so we can observe the things around us in us first and foremost, examine it, and then eliminate it if needed. God bless you all.
Amen. Powerful peace. Remind the people, tell them all the time, don't get upset with God, amen, when what's on you attract what's on you, amen. So don't get mad when it comes, amen, because what's on you, attracts the light. When you attract it and you find out you don't like it, amen, bless the Lord. All right, anyone else? You hit one on your dial. Star 6, the conference line.
Good morning.
Bless you, woman of God.
Good morning and blessings to you, Apostle and Prophetess Simmons. I have, as always, I enjoy the teaching, and the woman of God and Prophetess just said it, something that I was thinking about and was going to say the same thing, but just worded a little bit different. When we work on our relationship with the Lord, first and foremost, all of the relationships of God will fall into place. And I'm grateful, for everything. And I've been single for quite a few years now. But one thing about it is I value my relationship with the Lord more than anything. And I have shared with women, and I have in teachings, you know, to try to help many people, because one thing about it is your relationship with the Lord should be your most important thing. And you all mentioned, the both of you all, one of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 6:33, and that's the scripture that I learned as a little girl, and it stuck with me all of my life. And I, you know, and that's one of the things that I live by, that because I know that if I put God first, everything else will fall into place. We have to learn how to wait on God. And, you know, when you mentioned the gentleman in the barbershop, you know, and that is so true. So many of them, they will come to church, not saying all of them, but some of them, a lot of them do come to church looking for a female. Not all of them want to marry. And many of them know, okay, well, the good ones, that's where they feel like they can find the good ones, is on the inside of the church. But a lot of them can be in the church and they're not good ones either. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we stay connected with the Lord. And I would often tell, you know, mention this to many people down through the years. You know, you marry the individual, but you don't marry the vow. When you marry that vow, you will stand firm on it. And I raised this question in a Bible study, and I've asked this question several times, and it kind of brought a lot of things. The room got very silent, because so many times people want, you know, they'll bring up the scripture that a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. And I asked the question, you know, because just like you said, they come to church to find. And I said, well, now, if you have a female that is faithful to God, faithful in the church, she's in the front, she's a praise leader, this, that, and the other, or what have you, just working in the church, doing what she loves to do, how is she lost? How is she hidden? And I asked that question, how is she hidden? Many of them, you know, they feel, okay, well, I found a good thing because she's beautiful. She's this, she's that, than the other. But the bottom line is, I said, it's her heart that actually is what is covered and hidden. When you find the heart of a woman, that's when you found the good thing. You know, as I was, you know, like I said, I've been single, divorced for quite a few years. So I ended up a single mother with three beautiful daughters that I had to protect and provide for. Many times I've heard some say that I was headstrong, and I would listen to that, and it would really bother me because many people didn't know me. And when I would pray about it, and I would tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want people to think that way about me. But when the Lord began to deal with me, it helped me to understand, yes, the reason why I was headstrong is because I didn't have the head in the house to keep the house together. I had to step in that, no, I'm not trying to be a man. I am not a man. But I had to do what I had to do to raise three beautiful girls to keep the wolves and the dogs away from my girls. So, and my thing is, and when God began to deal with me, here's the thing. Don't judge a book by its cover. Open it up and read it, and you just might like it. You're looking at the outward, but when you find that heart, there you will know, you know. And I that's one of the things that I try to teach people all the time, because many people don't know what others have had to go through down through the years. So we find ourselves looking at an outward appearance. Some people have to, they have the strong, they have to look strong. But on the inside is something totally different. That's why it's very important to seek the face of God, and God will direct you. And I would sit here and I'll kind of laugh. I think about things and I kind of laugh in the background when you mentioned about, you know, the at night and the bed, it's cold and you want someone laying next to you. And I laughed about it because one thing about Mary, put another blanket on the bed before I allow you to enter into my bedroom. You know, because of the relationship, because I value the relationship with the Lord. Now, I know, you know, and I tell people all the time, yes, I believe that I will marry again one day. but I'm not going out there and rushing and pushing and trying to find anything. That's not me. I'm not going to do that. Because when you do that, you find something that you don't want. You know, so we have to learn how to wait on God. Many people, you know, they can't keep their flesh under control. And that's why they're so quick to rush out there. They allow the spirit of loneliness to overtake them. But God is a keeper. And I believe that my day will come. I believe that with all of my heart. But I tell people all the time, I am not clothing or a pair of shoes. You're not going to come in here and try it on. You know, my bedroom, you know, is not a dressing room, as in a store, where you can, you come in and you try on something. That don't work with Mary. That doesn't work. You know, so we have to, and I'm grateful for the teachings and how you taught and the wisdom that was given out this morning to help each and every one of us, those that are married, those that are single. It hit each and every one of us. So I thank God for that. I thank God for the word, because the word brings life. The word will turn on a light, you know, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord. So I thank God. Continue, and I say it all the time, teaching the word, because it's helping. It's helping. It's helping us to take a look in the mirror and see where we are with the Lord. So as I always say, to God be the glory for the things that he has done, and blessings to you all and blessings to the people of God.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. I thank you so much. You shared so many powerful nuggets. We were not laughing at you, but laughing with you. I am not single, but you are the first one that I heard say it in this way, that if you get cold and lonely, you have made a vow that you will put another cover on the bed before you allow someone someone in. And that was so powerful in itself. That was a very powerful nugget. I thank you for your transparency and being able to share from that place, so many single, widowed, or divorcees know that there is a God and he will keep you if you. So God bless you, woman of God. I truly honor you and respect you highly in the Lord. So thank you for sharing.
Yes, Lord, powerful. You know, one of the things is, as many of us are learning on this journey, especially as believers, that, you know, light always exposes darkness. And no matter how much we carry, you know, in our hearts, relationships, you know, light always exposes that. And as believers, that's why it's important we let God's will be done for our lives. Yes. We have to be taught. Yes, we have to, again, be on the right leadership to be able to help us with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to at least point us in the right direction so we can make wise choices and decisions. But if we choose to do our own things and we want to keep right on, as you said, woman of God, amen, not saying you doing it, but there are really, I told my wife, there are people that are doing it. When the bed gets cold, they want to warm it up, and they can't warm it up by themselves or put extra cover up there. Amen. They got to bring somebody in. Amen. That's why I said earlier, we can't keep changing the sheets. Amen. We got to change our minds, our hearts, because one of the things you look at in society and into the church now, we come in God's house any kind of way. I think we talked about it in one of our segments. You know, some people have that mindset, well, I'm a dress where I can draw the attention of a man, or vice versa. Men do the same thing. We, you know, people do that. And that's why I said when you attract it, don't get upset with God. Amen. What's on you, and when it get there and you, it ain't what you, you know, is all cracked up to be, don't get upset with God or get up. One thing that I've learned on this journey, you know, the truth comes and it challenges the flesh. The flesh don't like that. It don't have to challenge the spirit, because the spirit already know what's true. That's God. God always going to reveal from that place. But when it challenges the flesh, it puts us into a place that people get get offended. Who do you think you talk? Who they think they talking to? Or who this for? You know, that flesh get in the way. It's a powerful thing when you let it manipulate and control you. But when truth comes, it challenges you. If you know something stinks, it stinks. That's just telling the truth. Somebody said, well, how you saying it? How you telling it? No, it's just stinks. I mean, that's what we as people of God got to be transparent about that and just tell it how it is so that people can get free. People are tired of stuff being swept under the rug, birds and the bees. Come on. I'm hot in my flesh. Dealing with this in my life. Talking about the birds and the bees. Amen. Tell me the truth. Amen. So bless you, woman of God. All right. Anyone else? Comment for this morning.
Apostle, if I may jump back in real quick, because you said something and it's so, you know, it's so funny to me, because when you were talking about, you know, in the church and how they dress and everything, you know, and that's one of the things that, you know, people need to think about. You know, we get dressed up because we want to look good when we go out. But you don't know what we look like when we come back in. You go in and that's what you say that you found it. But then when you get behind closed doors, the hair comes off, the undergarments that brings about the shaping, all of that comes off and it's a totally different person. And that's where a lot of the problems come in at, is because when you thought you had found something, and when it's all said and done, it's something totally different. You know, and one of the things that I was thinking about in this season, and so many females have the tendency to get lonely in this time of year, it's Christmas time and this, that, and the other. A lot of them look at the Hallmark channels and they begin to sit there with the tissue box and everything because of how the story ends, you know, with the movie that you're looking at and everything. But I encourage anybody. I tell you, because one thing about Mary is that, you know, like what I just said, I go out and buy my own silver pair of earrings and put them under the tree, a beautiful necklace. Because one thing about it, if you bounce on me, that's still mine. I bought it. So, you know, I ain't got to worry about you asking for it back. See, sometimes we put ourselves in certain predicaments, you know, in certain situations. You know, learn to do for yourself. Treat yourself how you want others to treat you, you know, and everything, and I will always say that everything else will fall in place. I don't have no problem with going out buying my own self a Christmas gift. I'm not going to go out there and look for no man to buy one for me. You're going to turn around and you're going to take it from me if I don't do things the way that you want to be done. You know, so I just want to encourage people, because somebody had to encourage me one day, and I had to encourage myself in the Lord. So I just wanted to throw that in there, because sometimes, you know, things can be uncovered once you get behind closed doors. So we just thank God. Y'all keep on teaching, because this is really helping me, and it's actually helping me to laugh, too, because I need that. So God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Likewise, woman of God. Amen. Somebody asked a question some time ago. They said, how do we expect to change a society, to change a world, when people don't want to change? You know what I told them? I said, you change. And when you've been a change, if it ain't no more than a handful of us changing based upon, you know, the way that God wants us to change, then guess what? The world will start changing. We don't have to change with the world. We can change in the world. We can change. And then people will see and know, amen, that God, amen, he can change you. So bless you for sharing that. Amen. Anyone else? One on your dial or conference line, star 6. Amen. You got a question or comment for us this morning? All right. Administrator, the final words over there. Oh, God bless you, doctor. Bless you this morning.
God bless you, man of God, and God bless you, Prophetess Eugenie Simmons, on today. I'm not going to be like Gwen Marshall on yesterday, but I bless the Lord for the word today. Thank God for you both, how you really teaching of the word and really blessing the people of God on today. Every first Saturday, man, it's just been a powerful teaching all year long, and all of the things that you and the wife are sharing and really blessing so many people, not only single but married couples, and all of us. So all of us have really been blessed by the word of God that's coming out of you all mouth. And today was an extra blessing today. And I just thank God for what you're sharing with us today. You know, I wanted to share something. I just wanted to say something and share. I don't know if it's a question, comment, or statement, maybe more like a comment. I was listening to you, especially from the scripture, Matthew 6:33, when it talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things should be added unto us, and we take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow take thought of the things in itself. And when you guys were talking about love, that really blessed me. And one of the scriptures that I heard mentioned today, one said, a man that findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing and obtained favor of the Lord. Now, one of my shares doesn't have any indictment against anybody today. It's just what I'm sharing. I think the body of Christ and most people don't understand the word cereal, but I want to connect the word cereal to love, cereal love. They heard about a cereal killer, a cereal this, and then they heard about cereal on the shelf that you cook. You take off the shelf and you get milk and have some cereal. But cereal love is a real powerful thing. And the word of God said, God is love and love is God. And if we have the serial love of God in us, the dynamic of our relationship would change. Marriages would change and people would change, because many people are dealing with an identity crisis. And when you're still constantly fighting identity crisis, you can never understand serial love, because God is love and love is God. And it's this love that God has, that we say we have, not from just sitting in a church or speaking in tongues or going to church or dressing for the occasion or jumping up and down, but literally having this in us, it changed the entire dynamic of a diamond, a gold mine, and a vault. All of those things are very precious when it comes to its value. And I've learned, and you guys are teaching it so well today, the love, that the power of God's love is far greater than any of us can ever teach it, because we could teach it from the Wikipedia, the dictionary, Google, and you name it. But this thing is a lived thing, a learned thing, and it has to be really down inside of us. And it can be very contagious when you really know what it's all about. But it has to be in us. It has to be in us. I think I heard the woman of God talk about, when a man findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, obtain favor of the Lord. But here's how powerful that is. Because in the word, in that scripture, in Proverbs, there, it said, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. Now notice here, you have two find here. A man that finds a wife find a good thing. F-I-N-D, F-I-N-D, two of them. But the question is, for most people, are they really finding a man or are they finding a robot? Are you really finding a man or are you finding somebody you can control? Are you really finding a man or are you finding a boy? Are you really finding a man or are you finding a bed partner? Are you really finding a man? Because when you really find a man, you find that individual that operates in a place in God that's very strategic in his relationship. So many people don't really want the man. They want the control. They want the power. They want the authority. They want the gift. They want the oil. They want all of those things. They don't want the human side of them because it requires one to come under the authority of an individual that has to lead them when they're so used to leading, dominating, controlling, don't have a father figure at home, hurt, pain, issue. It becomes a hard place to do that. So a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor. The power to relinquish to realness as it relates to man is a hard place because we're too busy focused on Atlanta housewives, hip-hop wives, and the list goes on, or what we've been taught, or the new age movement, or the turn of the century women's movement, because we have lost that identity. And a man that findeth a wife, findeth her in God. Now, I know somebody talked about the heart, but Jeremiah said this very powerful. He said the heart is above all evil, desperately wicked. Who could know it? You have to find that presence in the love of God. Daniel had a heart of God, but he had some cardiology problem because he ended up letting God down. It didn't start the heart from beating, but it started the vessels from leaking. And so David's heart started leaking. And so many times, as believers, we have to be careful because our heart can leak, then bleed. So we have to be found hidden in the presence of God and in a place in God. The first find it is really being able to understand who we are in God. When we understand who we really are in God, then we'll find our place in his pattern for our life. And that then changes the whole dynamics of relationship. I've learned one thing. Give a person enough time to talk and listen to them. You'll find all of the tweaks, all of the good, all of the bad. Then you can determine from that place if you are medically prepared to be the repair of the breach of somebody that's been medically wounded or physically wounded in the relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's understanding them, dating them, getting to know people. Sometimes it's so hard you can't get past a hello or get past a God bless you or get past a hug or get past a look in this time in life. But that's neither here nor there. The hidden part is very important, but a lot of times what we call hidden is really not hidden. To be hidden is to be to really understand what's in you that kept you in a sacred place, in a secret place. Here now you have a young lady, Esther, and this is very powerful. Esther was not thinking about becoming the queen. What Esther was doing, she was following and listening to her uncle Mordecai, doing her duty, her due diligence. When Mordecai finds out, Mordecai finds out that there's a transition in the palace because of Haman and King Ahasuerus, because of the relinquishing of the position of his wife Vestai, because Vestai named me beauty. Esther named me star hidden. What happened is Mordecai decided to prepare Esther for the position. Now you have 5,000 women who will go before this king. Only one is chosen. And Apostle Simeon and Prophetess Eugene, the other 4,999 women were virgin. So after they go before the king, they never get this opportunity ever again. So they have, that's one in 5,000 in history. It's like that. So even if the king wife die again, none of those 5,000 women get a chance to go before that king ever again. So Mordecai gains favor from the dresser who dressed, prepared the woman, dressed, prepared her to go into the presence of the king. He dealt frankincense, myrrh, washed her, prepared. She was prepared for royalty. She was made for royalty. She understood everything that needed to be in royalty. She was prepared to understand what it takes to be royal. Follow me, you all. Follow me. She was not prepared for the man. She was prepared for royalty. She was prepared for loyalty. She was prepared for honor. She was prepared for the gleaming. She was prepared for the star. She was prepared. She was prepared. And once she was prepared for herself. So when she entered into the presence of the king, he immediately understood royalty. He understood royalty. She was prepared. He chose her because she understood royalty. She understood character. She understood when to talk, when not to talk. She understood her position, her place. She understood her opportunity, her advancement. She understood her level. She understood her ability and her strength. See, you see how all of those things are aligned. She was trained. She was trained to reign. Everything about her was trained to reign. She didn't concern herself about another woman issue, another woman place. She was prepared for royalty, totally royal, just like Queen Elizabeth. She understood royalty, even though they stole the throne in 1952. She was prepared for royalty. She was prepared. She understood her entire position outside and inside to prepare her for that place. And from that place, she was able to handle her position. I believe a lot of times people are being prepared for church. People are being prepared for preachers. People are being prepared for a mate. People are being prepared for somebody to take care of them. People are being prepared for security. People God prepared for protection. People are prepared for you name it. But love is a whole different dynamic than you all were talking about. That requires a skillful action, a very skillful action beyond what happened to us, what we experienced, what we've done, what we've been through. All of the things we connect to requires a skillful action, love. And it can't be birthed from all of those things that we allowed or characteristic that was created or things that were done to us. It comes from that. It's an energy that creates a synergy from God or eternity. So that opens it up to a very powerful place, powerful thing. So he's find it. Then here's what happens. After he find it, he finds favor. Then guess what? The Lord gives him, lets him know that's an honor because he stamps his seal on it. He finds his wife. He finds the honor of God. But so many people are church-bound, religious, institutionalized, and they don't know the balanced being of that royal place because they become institutionalized or institutional religion. And so you never get to see the royal side of an individual because of the church side of the people or the individual. That requires a balance. You ever see how a person, and there's no indictment against American with Disability Act or those who have disability, you ever see how a person that have disability, they have certain kind of traits? A royalty leaves no traits. They know how to deal with all the traits so that they can maintain a royal position in relationship. I'm going to end on this. You know, and it's a powerful thing. Relationship and connecting and love, it's just so powerful. And a lot of people have to really tap into that department because it brings a lot of value to you in knowing who you are in that area. And that should be, as you guys have shared, it should be really studied, because if people really studied love, study it, that's an unshakable place. And it's a very powerful place if you study it. I mean, not talking about it, but if you really study it, it will be star stunning in the earth. It's a drought in that area. It's a lack of it. It's a famine in that area, love. It will be star stunning for some of you. It'll win every award in the book because how powerful it is. I was hearing a part about the warmness, you know, the warmness. Me personally, this is just me. I feel this in my heart. This has had nothing to do with nobody else. This doesn't have anything to do with anything else. My warmness never comes for a blanket or a pillow. My warmness always comes from my heart. Wherever I go, I carry, I live, and I breathe the warmness, the warmth, because it's a center of who you become. That's why I don't worry about what people say anymore to me about connection, relationship, who I am, because the beat of the heart tunes into the warmth of the spirit because it all intertwines and connects together. And from that place, everything else will happen. Now watch this. If anyone get under the cover, you put the blanket over you. The blanket don't warm you. It's the energy from the warmness of your body that gives room for the blanket. If you ever do that, take the blanket and lay down. And then put the blanket over you. Watch what comes from the blanket. Watch what comes from the body. It warms the blanket up because your body creates a heat, and a heat creates a rhythm, and the rhythm creates an energy. Energy creates a synergy. And everything flows in that place. This inside job, Prophetess Eugenie said it's an inside job. Prophet Simmons, it's an inside job. And from this place, everything is released. And the body of believers have to understand when you have this serial love in you, it's contagious. It's going to draw good. It's going to draw bad. It's going to draw individual. It's going to draw. You're going to draw all types of people. But here's where I end at. When you draw those people, it's what you think in your heart, what you would do for those people when you draw the people. Because once you draw those people are going to need what's in you. And what's in you going to have to help build them up. Brother, it's relationship with God. Relationship with relationship, relationship with marriage, relationship with bringing them to the Lord, or just relationship with them for friendship. Now I end on this. When all of those things are in you, you're going to draw everybody. But it's what your relationship with God that would allow you to have that relationship with them. Then the people have to understand that that relationship you have with the God in the person and the human that's connected to God in the individual will determine the choices you make. As Esther walks into the presence of the king, she walks in balance. She walks in royalty. She walks in the honor system because at the end of the day, she had to protect what the king had taken, the beauty, and then she had to protect the king. She had, her job was to protect the king because Haman was a messed up person. Her husband was a drunk stupor. So the ability to protect the crown and protect the king. And a lot of people don't know how to protect the crown and they don't know how to protect the king. I just wanted to say that today. But I just bless you, man of God and woman of God today for sharing that with us and helping us out because you always help me out. Y'all always help me out. I just love you all, man. I just appreciate you all so much for just helping us out to really understand who we are as individuals in the things of the kingdom of God. This is the authentic side of me. I love eating, and pretty much this week I went out to eat. Went out and had dinner. And I ain't deep like everybody else. I like to go out with people to enjoy myself. But I had to learn that I can enjoy myself alone, too. I like to have fun with people, but I had to learn that I can have fun by myself. I like the fellowship, but I learned that I could be my own fellowship. So I had to learn that if any of those things does not happen, I can still understand who I am within me. And when I learned that years ago, I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, I'm content in the things of God. I learned to be content in those things to be the best I can. But this thing is an inside job, man. Man of God, it's a powerful inside job because once that inside is together, believe me, everything else will come together. When I say everything, everything else will come together. Everything else will come together. I'm done, but just bless you all on today. I appreciate just listening in today and enjoying my time this morning with you all, waking up to the atmosphere of the man of God and the woman of God. I love you all. Appreciate you all today. Thank you for blessing us, and thank you for hearing the questions and the comments from everybody today. Appreciate you all so much. Amen. Did I say too much? I probably said a little too much. But bless you all today.
I'm good. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can hear you good. I can hear you good. Was I talking too loud? Did I talk too low?
Oh,
did I talk too low?
Sir.
Oh.
Sir.
I'm trying to.
Sir, you were on time, in time, everything. You superb. God was superb through you speaking to the people. And I thank you. We thank you. There were so many nuggets, so that gave us a moment. I see another teaching, however, I also saw God show me specific faces, and I see a book co-authored by a couple of us. And so I thank you,
well,
sir.
Count me
in. Ooh, you already in it. Your face was in it. Yes, sir. And I will talk to the other ones individually. There is a book. So I truly thank you for what you brought to the table. You are truly an asset to us, to the body of Christ. And I so received the part about it's an inside job and the balance being it's powerful. Everything that you shared about Esther, the royalty, that's why I will say not pride or arrogance, Dr. LaRon. I say this to many. I protect what God gave me, and many may not understand how I protect or why I protect the way I do, but God, and I know what my assignment is also to my husband. Now, who's not just my husband, but my friend, but he is the apostle, the king, the leader of my home and ministry that I walk beside. I like it, but God gave me an assignment, and I'm going to protect what belongs to me. So I truly thank you for what you shared and released. And if many would allow God to prepare them and allow themselves to be intentional when God called them to love, they will truly understand their assignment, the love of God in everything that we do. Thank you so much, sir.
Amen. And that's what's important about the story of Esther and the secret of Ruth. Esther, when she was coming into the presence of the king to save a nation, when she came into the presence of the king to save the nation, because it was supposed to be like 30 days before she came into the presence. When she came into the presence of the king, watch this, prophetess. Listen to this, apostle. When she came into the presence of the king, he had his hand on a scepter, and he said these words, "What is it that you desire of the king?" And she said this. She said, "A banquet." Now think about this. Has she not understood her royal position? He says to her, "What is it that you desire of the king, even to half of the kingdom?" Listen to this. A king have a cold. Watch this, Apostle Simmons. Listen to the men of God. Listen to the people. A king have a cold. Do you know I give everybody my codes every time I come on the line, wherever I travel? People don't know the code. He says this. He said, "What is it that you desire, even to the half of the kingdom?" She asked for a banquet. And then she had access. You know why? Because when he asked what is it that you desire even to have for the kingdom? Some people would have said money, house, car, diamonds, ruby. He said, what is it that you desire of me even to have for the kingdom? She didn't need any desire. She didn't need half of the kingdom. She had the king. So if she would have said anything outside of that, he would have had to kill her. You know why? Because it would have been a plot to enter into his presence before time and ask for anything else. She requested a banquet. You know why? Because she understood she was the prepper of the secret for him to eat. So his cupbearer wasn't there, so he couldn't sample the food. His ability to check her out to make sure she was there, nobody was there but her and the king. So she understood the code to get into the presence of her man before time. And many people in the body of Christ don't understand God's codes. They understand their agenda. They understand their religion. They understand their doctrine. They understand their power. They understand their preachability. They don't understand their code. She came into the presence of her king with her femininity submitted to his masculinity. She understood that when she came, she just wanted a simple banquet, because she understood that years later, David will always say, "Thou prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies." She requested of her husband to have a banquet and invite an enemy to the table, because she knew that she would have to protect the king. Now, if you go back to chapter 1 of Esther, when King Ahasuerus, for 6 months, he had a party. He invited all of the kings and rulers and dictators from around the world to come to the event. And Haman was there too. And everything he showed them, the entire kingdom, only thing was left was his wife, Vashti, which means beauty. And she was the only thing left. So he requested that she come into the presence of his man. Now, you got to remember, they had concubines, so thousands of concubines. She was precious. He was a drunk stupor. Who was the influencer? Haman was there. Haman was sitting there saying, she's refusing to come. And if the other women hear about this, then guess what? They will look down on you and they will make it seem as if this woman was not submitted. Why? Because Vashti protected the crown. Esther had to protect the king. Haman comes into the presence and he's the agitator. So Ahasuerus gets upset. You know why he's upset? Not because she didn't come, because there's an agitator. Can I preach to somebody? Some of you women are listening to agitators. Some of you men are listening to agitators. When you understand who you are in the kingdom, that's what Paul talks about later on about being drunkard. He talks about that later on. And even the word talks about it later on. It's important to understand who is in your environment, who's connected. Matter of fact, let me put this up. At the greatest moment of your life, who is influencing your direction? You can write that down. In my life right now, I'm in the greatest moment of my life. You know why? Because I walk alone, Apostle Simeon. I walk alone, Eugene. I'm by myself. This is the greatest moment of my life. I don't let nobody advise me, because this is a critical point, and you let everybody get in your ear. You shut down complainers. You shut down busybody. You shut down greedy people. God, this is personal between you and me. This is personal. This month is personal. It'll even scare you because you'd be like, well, ain't nobody around holiday season. No, this is personal. You know why? Because he has prepared many of us for a very powerful season we're in. This is a powerful season, very powerful. And I don't know if anybody feels this season. This is a one-shot season. You got one shot and one look. You probably won't get this back in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, maybe it'll be too old. But this is one shot. But everybody's busy about it. That's why so many people are still being distracted now. They're constantly being distracted. They're just constantly being distracted. Do you know what? Distraction, somebody's going to write this down. This season, distraction is a death sentence to your destiny. Distractions are a death sentence to your destiny right now. If you distract it, it's a death sentence because you have one shot. One shot. It's a death sentence to your destiny because you can't be distracted. Oh, they call. Oh, okay, yeah. I worry about that. No. Go to the hospital, call 911, ask them to come and help you out. You'll be okay. 911, 911, call 911. Because it's very critical. But now back to this point. She understood that she didn't need half of the kingdom. She had the king. I just need a banquet to present what's going to change the trajectory of the kingdom. Right now, you have a king in England sitting on a throne with an empty seat next to him. You have a president of the United States that's a reptilian and don't know what to do. You have a pope in Vatican City that's getting ready to leave here and divided the Babylonian. See, that's the great falling away right there. 3 billion people. 2 billion and a half of them getting ready to abandon the Catholic Church. Y'all follow me? So you have to position yourself for this one. You can't be distracted because what's to come is going to be greater than what's been because we're in position. The power of a loving God right now is the power of what's going to take her to the victory. So she entered in. She called for a banquet. He immediately says, your request has been accepted. So the banquet comes. She prepares. She exposes things that's needed to be. And that's the power of being able to understand the codes. Church people don't understand no codes. The world only understands their system. They don't even understand the code because if they understood the code, they wouldn't be in order. So everything is set for this time, our season and dispensation. I'm not trying to jump on what y'all teaching, but this is good. All right, let me stop. I would come on here and jump in there with my friend, my friend, my sons and daughter over there. Y'all just bless me. What we doing in 2024? Y'all ready? Y'all ready for 2024? We hit that again. What we doing in 2024? No, I'm just kidding. But thank you. Amen. It's a blessing. It's just a blessing. I didn't want to go to Ruth yet. I leave that alone. I leave that alone. Amen.
Good. Amen. Bless you, doctor. Amen. It's good. You know, God has selected and handpicked. It's not many that he has grace anointed for a time, man, to bless his people, you know, to be able to break codes open in a society that got so many people blind and deceived, whether it's from spiritual ministry, from marriage to relationships, or just us as individuals, people, humanity. And I thank God for being in a place, in a position that God would trust me to be able to give those secrets, and such as yourself, my wife, and other men and women of God that he
download and deposit that in us. And sometimes people might think that, you know, God ain't revealing in that manner. Yes, he is. You just got to be in a place to be able to allow him to download and deposit in you. God just ain't going to pour no junk in, you know, pour no mess or pour no lies in us. We just got to be in that place so we can be able, when we go to the scriptures or we go to a revelatory place and release it from that place, and then, you know, I always tell the people, God can get the glory out of it, man. But only if people were here. If they were here, receive, and take what has been given and apply it, man, we'll see change like never before. We see transformation. We will see it. We don't have to worry about year after year, you know, looking at the same old, or doing the same old, but there's positive change. And I just bless the Lord for being in it, man, and him trusting us to be able to be mouthpieces or vessels, instruments that he can use in that manner. Yes. So bless you, sir. Yes, sir.
It's an honor to be able to be connected to real people, not wishy-washy people, but from real people.
Amen. I know that's right.
I believe Prophetess JD yourself, even Lulu, that just happened for everybody, mom too, everybody. You know, I believe the biggest thing for many of us right now, and added to this, this is part two, is that people have to have an honor system. The honor system is badly broken. That's why you see people don't, there's no stability in people, unstable people, wishy-washy people, up and down. You know, people who understand the honor system and loyalty understand the good, the bad, the up to down, the flaw. See, one of the things about the honor system, we don't fall out in the honor system. In the honor system, you don't fall out with a person. The honor system doesn't have a fallout plan. An honor system doesn't break link in the loyalty. The honor system, the word of God said, God chasing whom he loved. The honor system maintained the love in whatever state a person is. See, I didn't want to say this, but this is very powerful. An honor system is like this. Instead of me trying to get information on you, then you have to lie. Our honor system said, I'm not going to allow you to lie to me. I'm going to give you an opportunity to share with me. You follow what I'm saying? Most, my best friends in the world always know, I'm not going to try to seek information when you mess up or do something. I'm going to allow you the opportunity to come to me and say, hey, buddy, this is what I need you to pray about. This is what I believe in. I'm not going to force you to tell me anything. We got busybody people who want to know the ups and downs. My honor system is that I will honor you no matter where you are at, as a friend, as an individual, as a person. The loyalty, the honor system. There's very few people who really understand the honor system. Look at if a person just messed up a teeny weeny, the honor system is over. Look at a person who assumed the honor system is over. Look at the people who can be so close to you in every area of your life and still don't get the honor system. You know why? Because it was never honor. It was an agenda. Follow me? It's an agenda. Because the honor system is not looking for something on you. Our honor system is looking to protect what's in us all together because it's an honor system. And many people don't understand that honor system, that loyalty, because if they did, you wouldn't have a lot of renegading people, emotional people, here and there people. You would have people who will understand it's an honor, Apostle Simmons, Apostle Eugenie, Administrator Breyer, and I'm done. I'm going to try to be done. How is it that you want everybody to be perfect, but you're not perfect? And I think you're trying to make everybody be perfect, and you're imperfect. Now, here you are, let me use my word, flawed. You're flawed, but you're trying to make everybody else flawed to be perfect. When these, you're not perfect, but when all of these imperfect people mess up, you have an issue with them, and you're imperfect. So you're not perfect. You're flawed because we're being perfected. You have a problem with them, but you're imperfect. So you ain't even looking at your imperfection. You're trying to make you want everybody else to be perfect, but you're not perfect. So you learn religious language, connotation, to make yourself perfect. And you're trying to put everybody in that place to be perfect. It is. If you ever notice, when people can't dangle you or control you, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. I told you I'm authentic, right?
Yes, sir.
When I went through the divorce, listen to this. It's been almost 11 years, be 12 years. When I went through the divorce, people I was talking to, I said, I need time. You know, most people say, oh, you don't need time. You're going to be all right. We'll do good together. Everything's going to work out right. Listen to that. Until you divorce the pain, it's going to be hard to marry again. People will divorce a body. They'll never divorce the pain. That's why years down the road, what they pick up is what the body didn't divorce. Oh, let me leave that alone. Let me try to do this. So they jump into religion and they move into the rituals. And see, all of these rituals, only thing the ritual does, the rituals bring you into idols. Rituals bring you into form of godliness, denying the power. When you have finally divorced the pain, you can marry you again. That's for free. Because many people can't marry them. See, you have to ask your question. Will you marry you? No. Right. Some people say, yes, I will. Yeah. Okay, look in the mirror. It may crack. Be careful. You have to understand this power that's in us and the authority that's in us. So we come into religion or we live religiously. And when you live religiously, you always serve things. You never serve the king. You serve things. When you serve the king, you serve yourself. And people don't know how to serve themselves. You have to get into this place. That's why it's so easy for people who get married or date. Let's say a person is in a pew. Here's a perfect example. A person is in a pew. And they see another person talk to another person in the pew. See, the problem, Apostle Simmons, isn't you and Prophet Eugene preaching. The problem is what's in the pew that's keep the people in the pit, not the pulpit. Here you are doing what you do. Immediately, people will judge your love. You know why? You know how people judge your love? Because they don't have it. See, when you show the love, greet people. Oh, what they doing? See what she doing? Look at how he hugged her. Look at the way she's talking to him. Look at how they address. Because you know why? They're too busy judging your love, and they don't have it. It's a different when you drive luxury, and it's a different when you carry love. That's for free, too. I'm trying to get back to the top. I'm trying to go to the mountain and get up out of here. I'm trying to go to the mountain. I'm trying to get here. See, it's when you have love, it's a powerful thing. When you drive luxury, it don't last too long. So when your love outdo luxury, you're going to have a lot of angry people, Prophet Eugenie. You're going to have a lot of jealous people. You're going to have a lot of insecure people. You're going to have a lot of people looking at you funny because you have love. You drive luxury. And that's the problem with people. They don't really understand the difference with driving it and living it because they get in the church and fake it. Then when they see it, they blame it. Okay, Let me stop. All right, but I thank you, man of God, and woman of God. Yeah, you know, y'all, when I be sitting here on my Saturday morning, y'all be pulling nuggets out of me. So you know, you gotta hang around people who can pull what's in you out of you. You know, they can pull it out of you. So when they get it, they pull it out of you. You pull from it. So we pull it from each other on today.
Yes, sir. You got to make sure it's greatness, that. Doctor.
Yeah.
Got to make sure it's greatness, man.
Oh,
you don't want to pull mess out and mess get on you. Hallelujah.
Bless
the Lord, man. Appreciate it.
You're so good, man. We appreciate you all today. Well, I thank God for you all, man, and I appreciate you all on today. Thank God for everybody. I just thank God for everybody today. Appreciate you all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen. There might be somebody that got a question or comment for this morning before we exit, man. If not, we're done. We just bless the Lord, man.
Amen. We bless the Lord. Sometimes when you get deep, I think some people don't want to ask questions because they feel it's a little bit too much. No, it's really not. But just thank God for the people today. Yeah. Thank you all today. Amen. Thank
Good
you,
morning.
God, for all that you're doing today.
Good morning.
God bless you.
I'm just going to add one comment. Chapter 5 of my book gives you clues on how to support the same. God bless everyone.
Say it again, Dr. Wilkes, so we can hear you. I think you did it real, real fast. Go ahead and say it again.
I said chapter 5 called Freedom tells you how, or gives you clues or nuggets on how to divorce them.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good book. Really, it is. It really is. Evangelist, Dr. Wilkes, tell the people how they can get it, too. You want to tell them how to get it so they can get it. Because sometimes, you know, tell the people how they can. They are able to get the book. Now, we have some at our church, too. But just tell the rest how they're able to.
They can, if they have Facebook, they can reach out to me on Facebook, and I can mail the autograph and mail them a copy of their. This needs to include $5 for the shipping. They can just go to Carlina A. Wilkes Facebook page. Or they can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Walmart online, and then they can just put Can I Divorce by Dr. Carlina A. Wilkes, and they can get a copy there. I'm not sure. I think Amazon has to give you the promotional copy, which does not have everything in there. So I would recommend that they would just get it directly from them. They can always contact, you know, the corporate office and leave their name and address or phone number or something, and then I can call them and get their information and mail them.
Good. Thank you, Dr. Wilkes. Appreciate that. And it was Carlina Wilkes. Her book was a very, very powerful packed book. Very creative how she wrote it and done it. It's a blessing. Bless everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, Apostle Maurice Simmons and Prophet Jamie Simmons. Thank God for you all as well, too. Amen. We bless the Lord. I'm, anyone else have a question, comment, or statement? Or this has been a great day as well. It really has. Man of God, I just bless the Lord for you all and what you all do today. And bless the Lord for everybody. Thank you, Evangelist. Dr. Wilkes, appreciate you as well, too, and all of you all on today. Thank you for allowing me to just drop a few things out and share a few things that are important as well, too, with you all. Amen. For 20 years, today is 20 years for me, so today is 20 years of actually pastoring a church 20 years ago today. December 2nd, 2003, we started our Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry. And I'm looking at, I'm so, like, where did that time go 20 years ago? 20 years later. But I thank God for 20 years today. It's been 20 years. We started on a Tuesday night. With our first service on a Tuesday night at St. Nicholas Orthodox Church Hall, 17935 Springfield Avenue in Homewood, Illinois, in St. Nicholas Orthodox Church Hall 20 years ago. And it was an awesome time, powerful time, and still is today, 20 years later. 20 years, it was two of us. I mean, well, let's put it like 20 years ago. 20 years ago, when we started it, I started off at St. Nicholas Orthodox Hall, married. 20 years later, I'm single. And who would think in the 20-year period I would ever be where I'm at? I'll share this with the people. And in the 20-year period, and this should bless everybody. And I think Evangelist Wilkes, you can add that to one of your books, one of your powerful books. And in that 20-year period, we've grown immensely. First, especially the first year, it was just a powerful thing. And we had transitioned. You go through these stages of transition. We move from one location to another location. People come and go. Whatever you do in life, remember this. I'll probably jump on my Facebook page and talk about that today. We were on yesterday sharing. Whatever you do in life, you can divorce things, but never divorce God. People will divorce you, but whatever you do, don't divorce God in your journey in life. 20 years ago, I was married pastoring. 20 years later, I'm pastoring and single. I never divorced God. Even though people will put marks on you, but just don't let them put a mockery on you. Do what you do in life. Enjoy what you do in life. People come and go. People stay and leave. People make promises, and they don't. Haggai 2:1 said, who saw this house in its first glory? Who saw it in the first? Who saw it in the beginning? As it is, as it compared to where it's at now. 20 years later, that's an entire generation, two decades. God has graced me to do what I do 20 years later. with that quit in me? Yes. With that throw in the towel in me? Yes. Did I want to not do it? Yes. Did I feel lonely? Yes. Did people disappoint us? Yes. Did things get tough? Yes. Did you have frustration? Yes. Did you get, I had depression, oppression, suicidal thoughts, painful moments, misunderstood. But whatever you do in life, you can divorce people. Don't divorce God. That's the key in life. And I'm learning this more and more in life about this journey. Because people are going to always, they're going to always search the bad. God always study the challenge. You're not going to always remain bad or difficult. That's experience talking to the purpose. Your life journey is about he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's not how you finish. How you start is how you finish. I'm telling you, finish whatever you do. Don't let people determine your process of grief, pain, hurts, thoughts, your future.